Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our theme for tonight from 2 Corinthians on this Transfiguration weekend is a noticeable change. A noticeable change in Jesus, a noticeable change in our lives as well. Did you notice anything different? How do you feel when somebody asks you that? I don't know about you, but I always get a little bit on edge. I always kind of wonder just a little bit, oh no, what was I supposed to be noticing? Oh no, there's something different. Oh no, and I didn't notice what it is. Has it ever happened to you as far as a child is concerned? A child that comes up in a great big toothy smile, or maybe a toothless smile, and they want you to notice they lost their front tooth. Have you noticed anything different? Or maybe it's a beautiful woman, and she wants you to see the new hairdo that she has, or maybe the new hair color, or whatever it might be. Have you noticed anything different? Maybe it's new shoes. Teachers at school, you know all about that, don't you? And others, as far as children and others that are doing that. Or maybe it's that engagement ring that they just kind of walk around with their hand up in there. Did you notice anything different? Maybe it's new glasses. Or maybe no glasses at all, new contacts, or something that it might be. Did you notice anything different? Connelly's not here, but, you know, she'll say, did you notice anything different for dinner or whatever it is? I must tell you, I usually don't. How do you feel about that with, did you notice anything different? It just kind of sets me on edge just a little bit when people ask that. And yet, it's a very good biblical question. It's a good question, especially on Transfiguration weekend, because the disciples certainly noticed something different. The disciples, Peter, James, and John, who were up on that mountain with Jesus, certainly noticed something different about Jesus. But the question for tonight isn't so much, did they notice something different about Jesus? The question is, do people today notice something different about us? The scripture reading that I'd like for us to remember and to be thinking about for tonight comes to us from that epistle reading as Paul is writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. We are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. God wants to change us. God has the power to change us. God continually is changing us, is transforming us, so that we are constantly being transformed into his likeness. Do people see that in our lives? Do people see that as we live our lives? Do we reflect God's glory? The process began the time that we were baptized. I was baptized as an infant. I'm guessing many, many of us were baptized as infants. That process began as the Holy Spirit came into my heart and my life and your heart and your life and began that whole change process, that sanctification kind of process in you. For some, maybe that knew about Jesus Christ, were taught about Jesus Christ before the baptism happened, it came as God worked through that word in their lives. In 11 o'clock service, Emma Bond is going to be baptized, a fourth grader. God has been working in her life and a noticeable change, and she desires and seeks baptism, and we're happy that she will be having that baptism. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Paul will write in Philippians chapter 1, for all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion, will carry it out on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The whole idea of as we are being transformed is that we continue learning. We start off as that little child in those first Bible story books, those books that we share with our children and grandchildren and help them to know about Jesus. They grow into that first Bible that they have and how precious that is. And they continue to learn and grow. And we never stop. We never stop. We dare never stop growing and being transformed and being changed as God's word continues to work in us and through us until the time when we're taken to our heavenly home. I hope that's why you're here tonight. I hope that you're here once again because you know that Jesus has his gifts to give to you and that he is transforming you. He's continuing to transform you and me into the likeness that he would have us to be and would bless us in that way. We are a work in progress. We are something, some person that God continues to be working in our hearts and in our lives. Again, Paul writes in Philippians 3 about himself, "Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining towards what's ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Continuing to strain and to do the things that God would have him to do. But change, we don't like change, do we? We don't like the fact that God wants to change us. We're kind of happy with the way things are. And we just as soon not be transformed or changed into something different. We'll resist that as much as possible. That's our sinful human nature, that we want to resist any change that God would work in us. Especially those things that we've gotten so much accustomed to, whether it's sinful habits or whatever it might be, or maybe just the way that we deal with other people. We don't want to change that. We want to hang on to those kinds of things. Change is not an automatic thing. God could force it on us. God could do it to us all the time, but he chooses not to. As God works in us and through us, he works in a special way of continuing to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. How interesting the Apostle Paul, as he writes that, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." But you'll say, "Wait a minute, Pastor, we're Lutherans. You can't talk about work and salvation at the same sentence, can you?" Well, the scriptures certainly do, don't they? It's not the fact that we have to work for our salvation, but it's the fact that once we are saved, once the Holy Spirit is in our hearts and in our lives, he's working in us, and he wants us to work and to strive and to do what we can to continue to be transformed. That's what daily devotions are all about. It's a struggle sometimes, isn't it, to take that time to do it. It's a struggle sometimes to read that scripture and to try and meditate and understand what it is that's being said. It takes extra effort to come to Bible class or to come to church. It takes extra effort to be that Christian in this world today. You understand that as we are being transformed, God does work that in us and continues to work that in us. That new life that is ours and comes to us through Jesus Christ is so very important. Understanding that God works it in us, but we can reject it. God wants to work in us, but we can say, no thanks. God wants to give us his precious gifts, but we can say, no thanks. God wants and very much desires to continue to transform us and to change us into the likeness that he would have us to be. It's a noticeable change. A noticeable change, hopefully, that other people can see. It was certainly a noticeable change for Peter, James, and John as they saw Jesus. That outward whiteness that Jesus showed, that heavenly glory that Jesus had. Jesus never promises that that's going to happen to us here in this life. But what he does say, we need to listen carefully. On that Mount of Transfiguration, as Peter, James, and John are wowed by what they see, they hear something even more important. God the Father, from that cloud, says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." listen to him. That's the job of the disciples. That's our job as well, to listen to Jesus. Listen to the words that he says. Listen and obey the things that he commands us to do. And by listening to him, we carry out what it is that God would have us to do, and he transforms and blesses us. How interesting it is, and I'm so glad that as we read this account of the Transfiguration, did you hear it? As Jesus was coming down the mountain, after this glorious vision that they had seen, as they're coming down the mountain, what does Jesus say to his disciples? Don't tell anybody what you've seen. Don't tell anybody what you've just experienced until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. That should have wowed the daylights out of them. That should have just knocked them for a loop. But they were so caught up in the theology of glory, they were so caught up in the experience that they had, they just totally missed it. One of the many times that Jesus had said to them that Jesus, the real glory, the real transforming that Jesus was going to do was his dying on the cross. Not glorious becoming white like lightning and so on, but the glorious cross, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. I hope you noticed the caterpillar and the butterfly. How could you miss it? Well, maybe we could. I'm going to use that for children's sermon tomorrow morning, but I wanted to have it here tonight as well because transformation, transfiguration, transforming from that ugly caterpillar, that caterpillar that doesn't look anything at all like what the butterfly would be. Same thing for you and for me. The sinners that we are, continually being transformed so that people see Jesus Christ in us. They don't see us anymore, but they see Jesus Christ. And what a transformation that is. We no longer conform to the pattern of this world, but we are transformed. We are changed. People say, you're not like the other people in this world. You're not like all those others. You don't go along with all these things of the world. And boy, there's a lot of things in the world that we don't go along with and that we do speak up against and speak out against. For God's word tells us once again, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. That unable to see Jesus and the things that Jesus says and does. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. What a great joy it is to know tonight once again and to hear that message once again that you and I are being transformed, that you and I are being formed into that image of Jesus Christ. As we eagerly continue to hear that message, listen to Jesus, God the Father says, and we do. As we receive his true body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our faith, and the transformation of our lives. And then, this week again, as other people see us, as other people hear us, as other people watch us, they're different. They're different. They're being transformed. They see Jesus Christ and desire to know more about Jesus Christ, and what a joy it is to welcome them and to help them to know Jesus Christ is for them as well. God's continued blessings to you, to me, as we continue to be transformed in the likeness of Jesus Christ, in his precious name. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and our minds centered in Christ Jesus, being transformed into his likeness unto life everlasting. Amen.